The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. How are you taking us in? We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. The majestic D here in downtown Las Vegas. Whole bunch to get to this hour. Pete Futak on college football, Mark Borchardt on Major League Baseball, and of course, Dan Bespris with his NBA season longs. He's got a bunch of season win totals to get to, as does Kelly Bidlin momentarily, yes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a lot.
Okay.
I got a lot. Drew and I heads up on one or two.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think we're heads up on two.
Let me, we got a lot to get to. Let me read some tweets real quick.
We share a couple bets, though, too.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm beating the book. Joe Nigro. Hey, what team did Phil Mickelson want to bet on, U.S. or Europe? Missed it the first time they played the ad. So great. The number of times Billy Wallace, he wanted to bet $400,000 on his own team. Jeff Levine is still pounding the Ravens defense thing. He says, pounding the table on the Ravens D in DK's Defensive Player of the Year market, only one. That's one Raven is listed at any odds of the 60 offered. That's the number one rated defense. The market loves names, stars, blah, blah. How about schemes, coaching, on-field leadership?
Wow, that's...
Jeff's just ranting at this point.
Yeah, no, but what was it Patrick Queen who's having the massive season for them? I'm surprised to hear the part that they only got one name listed. I know he's right. There's not a lot of the star players on that defense, right? Where they're not going to attract the betting attention, but he's right. I mean, they're playing well.
Titans insider, who is very anti Malik Willis, he writes again. He says, believe me, Will Levis starting might not move the spread, but the fact that he will actually stand in the pocket and throw the football completely changes my position on the Falcons game. Malik Willis Malik Willis at quarterback will result in run, pass, punt. It's very anti.
I completely agree. I think
this is new, where we have people tweeting the same thing in different form day after day.
Gil, you know where I've stood on this team in that position for a long time. So anybody who wants to hop on board, please do. I understand from a betting standpoint the number's not going to change much. I would have that same thought though. I would gladly take the unknown in Will Levis versus the known in Malik Willis.
Here's one for you, Nash, last name Nash. Please have Kelly and Drew talk me out of taking a 31-1 Bogdanovich Sixth Man of the Year ticket. Snyder loves his first guy off the bench during the regular season, so I feel how could I not at that number?
Wow, that is a perfectly timed tweet.
Okay.
Considering Drew just sent me over some of his other plays, that was one of them.
Oh.
And I immediately responded with a... because I'm high on the Hawks. We'll get to that in a minute. No shock if anybody's that's followed my input.
This just in.
Yeah. And I texted it back. I'm like, man, that is not really even what I thought of. And it makes so much sense because of everything that that tweet just said.
You'll share the rest of your
And I will be betting that. That will not be on there, but I will be betting that here today before the season starts.
Sam Ginsberg, your reading of the Zinn advertisement is like poetry. Makes me want to start smoking just so I can quit. Rich PSM.
Not recommended.
Rich PSM. Thank you, though. Rich PSM, the most excited I've ever heard Gil in the history of the show when Drew announced that he had NBA season win totals off by 10. Give them to me, I said. And then Robbie Smith finally says, guys, is it about time we talk about TCU receivers? Is it talking about that Jordan Addison had more receiving yards in the first half than Quentin Johnson has all season? He says, is it about time we start talking about TCU receivers the same way we talk about Ohio State quarterbacks? Route runners they aren't. Still remember Josh Doctson for our beloved football team. Only high-level skill set was high-pointing the ball. Couldn't even do that. Jay Gruden used to just try to force the ball to Josh Doctson in the corner of the end zone. Never worked out.
It's an interesting note.
By the way, C.J. Stroud may be single-handedly turning that around for us.
Right,
See. Real quick before we get to the NBA things, I wanted to do this yesterday. Well, here's college football's on Saturday. Sunday happens. We're all into the NFL. Then Monday, we do guessing lines, so we really can't talk about college football. And then by the time Tuesday rolls around, we're 3 days away, so now my passion for this subject is not as high. But I want to
as it was late Saturday night. Yeah.
But I want to just say this real quick. My God, college football. First of all, there's your garden variety bad beats, right? Like Oregon, 19.5-point favorite. They let Wazoo score a garbage touchdown. They only win by 14. Illinois up 21-7 on Wisconsin. They lose 25-21. Wisconsin 3-point favorite in that one. There's that. There's the garden variety stuff. But what I'm referring to is the stuff that's just insane. Iowa, which I was not involved in, they're 3.5-point favorites in their game. And this is their game against Minnesota. And just over a minute left, officials wipe out a Cooper DeJean punt return touchdown that would have given Iowa not only a lead, but also the cover in the process if it had held. And they overturn it because one of his hands is pointing and the other does this strange wave. He's trying to get his teammates out of the way or whatever. And they say it was a fair catch and you can't field the ball. He took it to the house.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
So that was the first one. I'm like, oh, my God, if I was involved in that.
This is another thing. We hit on this yesterday with the what's, you know, the catchable and non-catchable stuff in the NFL.
Right.
That the fair catch signaling thing has always irritated me as well. We don't see it pop up as
this was so clearly not a fair catch signal, but they were reviewing whether he went out of bounds, and while they were at the review, they're like, "Oh, by the way, you weren't out of bounds, but that was a fair catch signal, buddy." So that was the first one. I was on Pitt. Were any of y'all on Pitt? Pitt was a 2.5-point favorite in their game. And Christian Viau, their quarterback, 3rd and 8 at their own 9. Wake Forest has only one timeout left. So if he gets the first down, this game is over. Salted away. It is ruled that he started his slide before the sticks. Replay, it really looked like it was not before the sticks. And it was infuriating because all he had to do was run out of bounds. The game would have been over,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's another brutal one.
But even the fact that it wasn't reviewed, like Pat Narduzzi, like I would have been losing my mind if I was Pat Narduzzi. He didn't get them to review it. And so then before you knew it, it was 4th and 1. And then he didn't even decide to go for it either. He was like, I'm putting it. And of course, Wake Forest then with less than a minute left goes down and wins the game. And all of our Pitt bettors lose. That was one of the most frustrating losses I've ever had in any level on any sport ever. Ugh. On that. And then we did talk about this a little yesterday, the ASU thing against UW. And this was in-game bets. If you had ASU on a money line, if you had ASU plus 2.5, I think was offered at the time. But late third quarter, their quarterback, Trenton Bourget, was incomplete to Xavier Guillory. He just got mugged. And of course, then it led to a blocked field goal attempt right after that. They didn't call it. 1st and 10 at the UW 19, 9:15 left in the game. Bourget to Troy O'Mare. They threw the flag. They pick it up. And I've never said on the show that anything is not above board. This was as close to whatever it got. Now, some people tell me they go earlier in the game, actually, they didn't throw flags when ASU defenders were messing with UW receivers. So I didn't see that part. But right after that one, pick 6. Washington goes on to win it 15-7. They maintain their undefeated record.
I somehow didn't see the ending.
But that official had one of those faces, Pac-12 official, where it was right out of central casting for... God help me, I'm being held hostage. Somebody above me is telling me that I have to call these or not call these. I'm so sorry. Here's the call. It just was just so so criminal. Anyway, I don't know what I mean by all that at this point because it's 3 days after, but just college football is a special kind of
You get to deal with all that. It's the, you know, you hear me rage about it all the time where it's, you know, it's the 19-year-old kickers and you've got college quarterbacks and college refs and everybody involved, and it's just... Man, sometimes it can just make betting tough when you know, like, you know, when you're talking about the quarterback who slid, where it's okay if you know if you go and pick up the first down and go out of bounds, and it's not at a college level, it's so hard to.
EJ Manuel said it's the worst call he's ever seen in his life.
Okay. I wasn't even going with the call. I was going with the kick because you said he could have just gone out of bounds and picked up the first down, right? Like, so that's, you know, like the NFL, you're going more nuts about the player doing that. He should know better. The college level, it's a little tougher to say that, I think.
Yeah. All right, what you got, NBA? Where do you want to start? You want to start with Drew's real quick?
You want to go NFL or NBA here?
What were we going to do NFL?
NFL
here?
Bets from yesterday?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
NBA. Well, I'll go through my NBA when we talk to Dan. Okay. We'll do that then.
No, that's a good point. Because what we do on Guessing Lines is we try to extract value from our first look at the upcoming lines. I guess them, and then Kelly tells me what they are. And every week this week, we've had 7 weeks so far. Mm-hmm. 6 of the 7 have been awesome. Where the first instinct really has really manifested.
Yeah, really
There's that 1 week where it sucked.
Yeah.
So we just decided the next day we ought to remind folks what those picks are instead of just like waiting till Friday.
Right. We're so in the moment as we go through games on Monday. So yeah, we figured we should make sure we do a recap of, hey, what did we actually end up betting after Monday?
So I did bet the two that I loved from the exercise yesterday, which is I bet the Jets at -3 at the Giants. I just feel like that should have been higher. I get it. I'm backing Zach Wilson. But that's where we are. I just think that Jets defense is going to stifle the Giants offense, no matter who the quarterback is. It's a quote unquote road game for the Jets. Not really. And by the way, it's down to 2.5, so it's gone against me. Yeah, so you can even get it better than I got it.
Don't feel bad. There's not many 2.5s out there.
All right. But the point is with a lot of these this year, it doesn't matter where the line has moved, right? Like, it just, like, whatever your instinct is, go. And the other one was the Detroit Lions. As much as I hated the Lions and faded the crap out of them this past week, I love them here. I saw it where I had them at -7.5. I actually bought them down to the -7. So I have the Lions -7 this week.
So you and I were,
I guess 10.
Yeah, you and I were both discussing that yesterday. I was trying to figure out dance partners for teasers with them. I did do a 6-pointer with the Chiefs, so Chiefs and Lions for me, but I did the same thing. The bigger bet yesterday was I did buy the 0.5. Went down to 7, laying with the Lions. I am with you. That was the number one game that stuck out to me this week and what the number was against this brutal, brutal Raiders team. And the market's been mixed reaction on this. Like, there are 9s out there on this game now, which make far more sense to me. Mm-hmm. And yet there are still places hanging 7.5, mainly 8s. There's 8.5. Anywhere between 7.5 and 9, you can get on this game right now, which is extremely fascinating to me. Yeah. This is, I don't get those. And the other one that I bet was I laid 2.5 with the Seahawks, with the Browns coming in. That number is, I think, mainly three, but that's another one. Like, prove it to me.
Yeah. And you smell a fishy situation with Deshaun. I know you do.
Yeah.
Your spider senses are tingling. Pete Futak on College Football Next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year round. Check them out, all of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. I promise you, coming up this hour, nothing but a cavalcade of NBA thoughts from Kelly and Dan Bespris, as well as the NBA season tips off tonight. By the way, you see, hockey is doing that thing tonight that the NBA did.
Yeah.
They're starting every 15 minutes.
That's a really cool idea.
Remember when this happened with the NBA? So it was before Election Day, mm-hmm, in 2022, the day before Election Day, because there was going to be no games on Election Day because they wanted everybody to go out and vote. The NBA did this thing where every tip-off was 15 minutes staggered after the other. For all the teams in the league.
It was awesome. I'm trying to think, right? Did they not do that again last year at some point?
Maybe. Well, that was last year. 22.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Thank God Gil's here.
thank God I'm here. But the thing about that is you hope for fantastic finishes in every game, so it just goes bang, 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 one doing it. So hockey's doing that tonight anyway, which I think is a great idea. Let me just read a couple of these college football tweets real quick before we get to Pete. J&J Watering Hole, what they actually called an Iowa game, this is good clarification, he said, was an illegal fair catch symbol, which isn't technically a penalty, but the ball is dead. All right, same thing, right? But technically, he's correct. Some BS about gamesmanship in making the defense believe it might be a fair catch and slowing down. BS no matter, but worked out for me. Finn Fan Fall Holland. Tennessee was probably not going to win their game with Bama, but that officiating was atrocious, too. Another fair catch signal call that placed Tennessee on their own, too. It also appeared every third down stop resulted in a controversial call on the Tennessee defense. Yes, that was at play as well.
I also don't, like, I didn't see a lot of these, but it is, some of these players get way too lax with the fair catch hand. Sometimes it's like the, just a real quick, like, wave. Like,
right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, right at the last second.
Maybe make it a little clearer before you get drilled by three guys running down the field.
True that. I'm sure this gentleman has something to say about it from College Football News. It's the great Pete Futak. How you doing, Peter?
I'm fine. You know what? The Iowa thing was weird because for so many reasons. One, it was almost a miraculous cover, or depending on how you were going the other side of that, obviously. And yes, by the letter of the rule, they called it right. It's not like Minnesota slowed down, though. So it was like, it's like you had the problem with the, I get the Iowa fan side where it's like, yeah, he kind of did the wave, but Minnesota guys just went full bore on him, and it's not like they really backed off. It was a strange, weird play. And if you watch the game before that, there was a couple drive before, there was a really bizarre officiating call, a bad catch that was ruled okay to keep an Iowa drive alive. But that, yeah, crazy stuff at the end of that.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, Kirk Ferentz's issue was they weren't even reviewing that. They were reviewing whether he was out of bounds. And instead, everything's fair game, you know?
Look, if you're going to have the greatest slow on turf and you're going to rely on miraculous this player, they rely on the miraculous every single game. If you're going to do that, your margin for error is absolutely minuscule, but that team is absolutely amazing with how they are able to do what they do. And now, you know, good luck trying to figure out the Big Ten West, because as my Big Ten West friends, big deal. So we're going to go to the Big Ten Championship and get drilled. Yeah, but this is kind of your last year to do it, because next year they go to no divisions, and then, you know, Minnesota and Nebraska and all, you have good luck with that.
Felica texted in about this. You know what he said? He said, blank Iowa. They had 2 yards in the second half. So there you go. That's how he feels about it.
That's how they roll, though.
My point was, it wasn't even the worst. Like, if I had to rank them, Pitt was almost worse than ASU. Like, the Pitt thing was just mind-boggling. Anyway, it's just brutal. What did we learn from Ohio State, Penn State? What's your big takeaway from that game?
Ohio State's good. I mean, they just are. I mean, they don't look. I saw that as more of a really awesome game of defense than bad offense. And if we're all used to the Pac-12 and conditioned for that, and as apparently so, nobody stayed awake to watch the Washington game
because the
tweets that I was getting saying, Washington and Oregon would drill these guys. Like, no. You know, the NFL talent on that Ohio State defense and the Penn State defense is next level. So, yes, Penn State does need a downfield passing game at some point, but I do think Ohio State is just that good.
So you do think, because while you're watching that Ohio State-Penn State game, your thought is, wow, whatever the opposite of that UW-Oregon game was, is this, which is no offense. But you read it as really good defenses. Let me ask you what I asked Felica last week, which is, all right, then put Michigan in that Big Ten mix. Are they that much better than both Ohio State and Penn State?
Are they stealing? I'm sorry. we're about to find out. And because Michigan still hasn't really played anybody. I mean, beating Minnesota is just not that big a deal, at least the way they did. And for all that kind of feeds into the controversy is, oh my God, they're destroying everyone. Yeah, they also, I mean, UNLV is good and all, but it's not like they've played a Notre Dame or even an Iowa or even a, you know, West Virginia like what Penn State did. But we'll see in 2 weeks. I think Michigan's right there. And I still say, I'm going with my original call. We're going 2008 Big 12 South. We're going to have 3 11-1 teams in the Big Ten East when we're all said and done.
All right. We have 9 remaining undefeateds in FBS play, one of whom is playing tonight. Liberty is a 5.5-point favorite at Western Kentucky. Any thoughts on that game?
Western Kentucky played bad last week at home. That passing game is not kicked in like we thought it would. And Liberty just kind of keeps on winning. Not a great Liberty team, but bad schedule. I'm going with Liberty, but not too excited about it.
All right. What's your favorite play this weekend on a schedule that's not exactly the sexiest, may I just say?
I somehow have nailed the Pac-12. I've missed a lot of other stuff, but my overs and unders have been fine. The Pac-12, I'm at a Graham Mertz like 78%, shockingly enough, because the home teams are, these games are kind of easy to figure out because they're all these teams are sort of the same. So with in terms of like what they do at home, they all kind of rise up, and we know Colorado is bad. So if you go with all those, Pac-12 has been sort of easy to get. Utah getting 6.5 with maybe 7, depending on where you're looking, at home against Oregon. Oregon's a good team, obviously. Utah's just different at home. That is a solid team to begin with. They went on the road, obviously, last week against USC. There's nothing flashy about them, but those lines are fantastic. And again, you're giving me a touchdown with Utah at home. I'm taking Utah. The one I'm a little less excited about, Arizona at home. Rested Arizona team. They're playing some good ball. Oregon State's rock solid type, but I am going with the two Pac-12 underdogs, Utah and Arizona. And I'm maybe going to kind of dabble maybe in UCLA because I just don't think Colorado is good at football.
Wow. Are you becoming like a Pac-12 specialist now? Is that your new thing?
I have to. Well, I only have like 10 minutes left to do this, don't I? I guess if I'm going to be that. So, yeah, until they go away. But I guess I am at the moment.
10 minutes left of the Pac-12 lifetime is what he's lifespan is.
I was
going
to say on the air or in the break after. This is the most Pac-10 I've ever heard him talk about. Pac-12 I've ever heard him talk about.
I love the Pac-12 because it's night and that's a fully focused. There's not 1,000 other games going at once. So I've always been sort of a Pac-12 aficionado.
What about Louisville Duke? Louisville 4-point favorite hosting the Blue Devils.
Duke's great. I mean, they're just, again, not flashy, and Riley Leonard's playing. As long as he's fine, as long as he's able to go on that ankle, I'm going with Duke. Again, just a rock solid team that's just playing well, and they've got an NFL starting quarterback, and I'm going with Duke on this.
Okay, what's your gut instinct tell you about the four-team playoff? Who are those four teams right now?
It's, are we assuming that Michigan's not just going to get nailed for all this? And
Yes, we are. We're going to assume that.
Yeah, because if they do, I don't think the NCAA can work that fast. I think that's a problem for next year and for Harbaugh's future. So if we're assuming that they're going to get their way in this, I'm saying two Big Ten teams. I am saying we're going to get both Michigan and Ohio State. We're going to have a two-loss Big 12 team somehow. We're definitely going to have a two-loss Pac-12 champion. I think Washington's losing twice. And Florida State's got it kind of easy. So SEC champion. Going to say Georgia, even though Bama's sort of sneaking up, and watch out for Ole Miss against Georgia next week. We're going to be talking about this. But I'm going to go Georgia, two Big Ten teams, Michigan, Ohio State, and Florida State, with Michigan and Ohio State playing for the national championship just before the NCAA drops the hammer on the Michigan Wolverine.
I think I have those four teams pre-flop in the Final Four, but I think I had two different ones in the a different pair in the championship. Real quick, since you bring it up 50 times here, Pete, this thing with Michigan and the sign stealing, I asked two people. One person says, it's nothing. And the other person thinks it's the most serious thing in the world. Where do you fall on it?
I have learned over my 25 years of doing this, every time I think someone's going to get nailed for this, like Cam Newton in 2010, no. Jameis Winston in 2013, no. And then they end up winning the national championship. So it'll be a big deal next year.
Big deal next year. All right. Threaded the needle. Pete, enjoy. Appreciate you, man.
There you go.
Pete Futak, everybody. At Pete, F-I-U-T-A-K on Twitter. Now, I don't know if you know this, Kelly. Known as X.
Yes, it is.
You're aware of that?
We all say it.
Do we?
No.
No, we don't. Coming back, Mark Borchardt on baseball and a cavalcade of NBA plays coming up. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin in the Hizzy. Bar Canada at the D. Let's bring in Mark Borchardt from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. You can follow him on BaseWinner on Twitter, also at BaseWinner.com, the BaseWinner podcast, BetUS. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great, Gil. I mean, I had a really good experience at that game four of this series, and I'm super impressed. Now, I mean, the Philly fans were there in force, and they were great fans, but the Diamondback fans were surprisingly really good, loud, and what an experience. Gil, I just want to share this because I've been to both now, the Super Bowl, which I went to with the Eagles, and the Game 4 with the Phillies, and I thought Game 4 was way more exciting than and louder, you know, in my experience. A better fan experience for me, Gil, than the Super Bowl was Game 4.
Oh.
A really, really good experience for me.
Well, it's the home team in this case, right? So they're going crazy with the game four.
It was, and the Philly fans, and I was in my Phillies gear too, and I don't think that the broadcast really caught the essence of that crowd, and what an experience. The Alec Thomas home run as the ball's leaving the park, the change in noise of the crowd as it elevates. And then when it clears the fence, it goes to crescendo. And I thought that was really, really neat. What gives me chills even thinking about it right now, but this has been, I think, you know, if you're a baseball fan, you've got to love this series. You know, you've seen it all here.
you know,
if you're a baseball fan, you got to love both of these championship series. They were, you know, the one that's gone by with Texas and Houston, and this one, which has the game seven tonight. So what about that game seven tonight in Philadelphia, where Ranger Suarez is on the hill, Brandon Pfaadt getting the start for the Diamondbacks, but of course each will get pulled as soon as there's some bad stuff happening. The Phillies are minus 165 favorites, and I was saying earlier, that seems a little high, doesn't it?
Oh, gosh, it's way high, Gil. You know, I have this game as a pick'em, personally. I have actually the Phillies minus 104 from a macro standpoint, and I'm trying to think from a micro standpoint, like, what is making this minus 162? And, you know, if you take a look at some of the advanced stats, particularly pitching plus, Pfaadt actually holds the edge over Suarez. And then really getting into these bullpens and kind of how they've performed in the playoffs, you look from an expected ERA standpoint since the 13th of October. So that would encompass this series, Gil. Phillies better than Arizona with a triple X ERA, if you will, 3.74 to Arizona's 4.24. But Pfaadt really, or Pfaadt rather, really, he stymied the Phillies,
yeah,
and a 50% strikeout rate there. And so you just got to think, well, are the Phillies capable of turning the tables on him? And my opinion is that they are. And I think that one of the things that I observed watching game five is Trey Turner got a raw call from Barksdale. It was a 3-2 count. It was a ball, clearly a ball, and they called it a strike. But what I noticed about that is when he went back to the dugout, there must have been five iPads there that people were looking at. And I think that maybe the new thing is you got to bring your power charger, you know, your power strip into the dugout to right there next to the sunflower seeds and the pine tar. And I think that, you know, knowing this, the front office and their reliance on artificial intelligence and how they've really been able to set these players up. There was a really good report by Taryn Hatcher. She's the sideline reporter for Philly during the regular season on how Trey Turner has used artificial intelligence to adjust his swing when he was in the midst of a slump, and then he broke out of that. And I think that they're able to see Pfaadt one time and then be able to kind of analyze the data that, and then pitch data. I think they can really do that effectively, but it was really struck me as I mean, you know, batters are as technology driven as I think it gets.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Rangers sort of gave credit to that last night against Vasquez, where they were like, they thought that they really made adjustments based on what they were saying. By the way, when Altuve would get the screen, it was like a parent giving his child extra screen time because he done good with a home run, like he's with his little hands holding it. But you went two ways on this game tonight. So you're saying it's way overpriced on the Phillies, but then you said you think the Phillies can adjust. So which way did you end up?
I think so. Well, I'm not going to play the side. I've got a lot of stuff on the Phillies. Please. I ended up hedging it yesterday with the D-backs. So I'm going to stay off the side. I think the best way to attack this is to play your best hitters for Philly in the over runs plus RBIs, over a half run plus RBIs for Harper, and over half run plus RBIs for Turner. I put that in a parlay and it's plus money. It's a little bit correlated too. So it's plus 106. And really, you talk about front office and setting up a team for the park. You look at Bryce Harper, Trey Turner. Bryce Harper's base runs created at Citizens Bank, and this encompasses 776 plate appearances over the last 3 years. His base runs created 7.96, super impressive. And then you look at Turner, he's got 399 plate appearances there with a 6.17 base runs created. So you put those two guys together, and I think that that's a good parlay. I think they're going to be able to fight Pfaadt, if you will.
Fight Pfaadt. Okay. For those who are looking to sneak in an MVP play, even prior to game seven, Zach Wheeler is 2-0 already in this series. If the Phillies win, and one might expect that he might see some time tonight, is there a path for him to win the MVP at 16-1 currently, or no matter what happens on the hill, they're going to give it to a guy like Schwarber?
Well, I think it depends on who wins. I mean, I think,
obviously the Phillies win.
Look, Kettle Marte is probably, I don't know what his price is there, but I think they give it to Schwarber. I mean, he's got 5 home runs already, and I think that's what they do. But I mean, we'll see, Gil. I mean, strange things happen in these playoffs. And if somebody would have told you last night that the Rangers are going to win 11-4, I think you would have called them crazy.
Schwarber's -125. Kettle Marte is +340. I was just trying to ask the question about a long shot. Is there a path for someone like Zach Wheeler? I'll let you go with this. What about the prices? Have you made prices on a Rangers versus D-backs or Rangers versus Philly series? Have you made those yet?
I haven't. I'm gonna enjoy this game, and I think that's a good play that I got. And
okay.
No, I don't know about you, but sometimes these series, you make so many bets during the series, you kind of even don't even know what you have, and you kind of got to write it down. You got 8 or 9 bets on a series. Either way, I'm going to win, so that's good.
Good for you. I am going to watch this game tonight. I don't have a play on it either. I think this is one you just sit out. Last thing, do you have any instinct on a World Series MVP? Like, is there someone in your head who you're like, well, Corey Seager's my guy at 6-1, or is there somebody else?
Well, that Adolis Garcia, gosh, you can't fault the way he's been hitting.
Nope.
I did a to win the series home run prop with both ALCS and NLCS. So he's tied. I guess he had a dead heat if Schwarber doesn't hit one. But yeah, I don't see how. I mean, he's dialed in. So I would do Garcia. That'd be my guy
for the back to back MVPs. Okay, Garcia for the World Series MVP, 7-1 currently. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Gil.
Mark Borchardt, everybody, at Base Winner, talking some NLCS Game 7 and World Series with us. All right, Kelly, what did Drew have left in his picks? Let's get to those for the NBA.
Run through everything for Drew first? All right, let's hit it. Let's see. So the number, the win totals real quick, where he had a significant edge on Overwise, Raptors, and Timberwolves, and then unders, Pistons, Thunder, Kings, Pacers, Blazers. And then the award market, Bogdan Bogdanovic of the Hawks, Sixth Man of the Year. We talked about that one already. I've added that as well.
What number did he get?
22-1 on that. You'll see him. I don't know what this is. Some of these awards, make sure you're really shopping around if you're looking to make some of these bets today. I have seen vastly different numbers depending on player, depending on market, of course. But I saw a shop that had him at 12-1, and I bet him at 25-1. Drew got 20, or I bet him at 20-1. Drew has him at 22-1.
We just had the guy on Twitter said 31-1. He got
it, yeah. Exact. So yeah, anywhere between 12-1 and 31-1 on that. Bet Franz Wagner 25-1 most improved player. Drew played. I played that as well. And then the Raptors coach of the year.
Franz Wagner. You went Franz Wagner number most improved, huh?
Most improved. I have a few most improved player, but I have 3 most.
Yeah,
improved
I thought you had another.
Yes,
most improved.
I have Maxi at 20-1.
That's
I got
your guy, Maxi.
As soon as it opened, I bet Maxi. So that number, I don't think there's many. I don't think they're close to. He's close to 20-1 now. He's one of the shorter shots in that market. I bet Desmond Bane 30-1. Anything I think above 20-1 is still a good bet on him. You got Steven Adams now. It's going to be out for the whole year. John Morant going to miss the beginning of the season. We've seen Desmond Bane get better and better here. He's going to have this great chunk of time at the beginning of the year to really put a stamp on that award, because he's going to get a lot of usage rate with no John Morant.
Markkanen ended up winning it last year.
I'm out for blood.
Which was a bit of a departure from the already known to great sort of.
Yeah. He had a great year. He had a great year.
More NBA bets next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks. Betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now and get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120 at VSiN.com/subscribe.
That's where you got to go to get all of Drew Dinzik's plays for the NBA season, and mine as well, and Dan Best versus.
Let me pull back the curtain here a second. So Kelly was being taken to task off air that he got all of Drew's plays opposite. But in fact, you got them all right, correct?
Yeah, no, I stand by what I said. But again, you can go to VSiN.com and check check for yourself later today.
The level of aggravation that this gave you, though, it's phenomenal.
No, I love it. We get, like you said, we love our audience. We get great tweets. Yes. From the best fans in the world. A lot of people really interested in Drew, yes, in Drew's bets. I 100%. Get it. Drew's great at betting the NBA.
He said he's 10 games difference from the number. So yeah,
and
on.
What did we talk about a lot? Alternate win totals. Go bet them if they're out there.
If they're out there.
DraftKings. They're at DraftKings. They're go bet them. We work for DraftKings. I'll still tell you to go bet them. Go. They'll be fine. Don't worry.
Whenever this state gets legalized betting here in Nevada, boy, oh boy, it's going to be something else.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My six man of the year shopping. Yeah. I got to shop around between one book.
Is which book?
Caesars. Only place in town.
Do they have most improved? Do they have most improved till there?
Yeah, they got there.
They got there. They got okay. There. Yeah. I bet defensive player of the year yesterday. By the time I got off air, it was the best number in town was 13-1 on Wembanyama at MGM, by the way, because Caesars had gone from 15-12.
Which, yeah, you probably had like two or three books to shop around for that one.
Two. Yeah. At least two.
MGM and Caesars.
Yeah. And then the only other NBA season-long bet I have, you and I both made, which is on Scoot to win Rookie of the Year at +460, which we made right here at Circa.
Which I wasn't even going to bring up at first, Gil, just because the price difference most places is so much shorter and that we really bet it because of the price available. But I just saw at MGM when I was going to shop that they have +450 up on him right now. So there you go. I think it's a good position to take at least to start here. We always talk about it's the NBA. It's a long season. You can add futures along the way. If prices drift, I think there's a chance he could be great right out of the gates.
What are your plays? And we'll get Dan Bespris to then poke holes in all of our plays.
Yeah, that's
afterwards.
Right. We got Dan standing by. So I think I went through all my awards bets. That's everything there. All else I got is win totals here. I'll start at the top and work my way down. Nuggets under 53.5. It's a half win better than they had a year ago. This roster not quite as good. I'm aligned. JVT and aligned.
A little hangover on that, maybe?
Yeah, a little bit. JVT and aligned on a couple of these. Cavs, I did go over 50.5. This is the same sort of handicap, just the opposite way. You're giving me a win total. It's a half win less than what they had a year ago, and this roster just got better. I'll bet over the 50.5. Bulls and Raptors. I bet under on both of these teams. Bulls under 38.5. Raptors under 37.5.
So you're oppo, Drew.
The opposite, Drew. Completely understand where Drew's coming from. If you told me that the Raptors had their roster for the entirety of the season, I think they're going over their win total. I don't think they're going to have their roster for their entirety of the season. Yeah, Pascal Siakam on an expiring deal. I think he'll get moved here at some point. Gary Trent Jr. as well. There's a lot that could happen in the middle of the season with this Raptors team that things aren't going well. Same thing for the Bulls. DeMar DeRozan on an expiring deal. Could easily see him getting shipped away if this team's not great out of the gates. Vucevic, been a little disappointing since he got to Chicago. Big contract. I think they would love to get off their books. If they could. So unders, both Bulls and Raptors for me. Hawks over 42.5 wins. I did not bet them to win the division, Gil. Why did I not bet them to win the division? It's not because of the Miami Heat. It's because this little team in Orlando that I think could be a little feisty.
Really?
That I'm not going to bet the Hawks to win division, but I am over their win total 42.5.
You're just a fan of the Southeast Division.
I love this. I do love the Southeast Division for whatever reason. And the last one real quick, because I know Dan's standing by. The other one I'm oppo Drew on, I went Pistons. This is not big. I did go Pistons over their 27.5. I think there's some good young talent back there that I like in the backcourt.
Aren't those, I mean, let's just take your NBA brain out of this. Yeah. Aren't those literally low hanging fruit teams like the Wizards? When your season win total is that low, we talk about this in baseball. Even the worst teams figure out a way to win 50.
Yeah.
If not 60. Same thing in the NBA.
Well, it's
you got to really be bad.
I think it's almost all sports, right? High-end win totals and low-end win totals. It's hard to bet overs on high-end to win totals. Sure. And it's hard to bet unders on low-end ones.
Absolutely. Dan Bespris joins us now for the Fantasy NBA Today podcast. Assistant GM at Sports Ethos, still gunning for that GM role. And now he tells us what idiots we are for all of our bets. How you doing, Dano?
Someday, man. I love that bit. I'm so happy. That's...
Who is the GM? Is he like, gotta keep Bespris down?
Not actually sure we have a GM. Oh, okay. Well, Bruski is the site president. I think then it jumps straight down to me. So someday, man. And do you remember that you guys called me the plain bagel on the show last year? I kind of want to go back to being the plain bagel again.
That was great, man.
who would have said such a thing about you, Dano? That doesn't sound like
I am a plain bagel. Yeah. I eat plain bagels, and as a human, I am a plain bagel. All right, my thoughts on
One, two, three, four, six. Those are six totals. I think I was scribbling them down as Kelly was going through them. I am fully on board with the Nuggets under 53.5. That's a gigantic number for a team on a championship hangover. There's just no reason for them to have to press hard enough to get to that mark. Cavs, I don't have really strong thoughts either way. I'll admit that was a team I actually had trouble reading last year on the day to day. So there could be a little bit of a weirdness, but they added shooting and that was something they needed. So that's good for them. Bulls and Raptors. That's just one where I didn't touch it because actually for the reasons that Kelly was talking about, you don't know who's going to be on that team at the halfway point. And so for me, that was just too much uncertainty for me to go either way on those two plays. Hawks, I have no idea if they don't stagnate this year. I might be on the other side of that one. If I had to lay a play on it, I'm not on either side of Hawks at 42.5. And Pistons is one that I've gone back and forth on 1,000 times. Of all the ones that Kelly, you mentioned, that's one where I've been like, okay, but they want to try to win now. And Cade is back and their young guys are getting better, but are they actually good enough to get to that number? And sometimes just trying is enough. So if we assume they're not going for the full tank mode, I actually do agree with you on the Pistons, but certainly of all the ones you mentioned, the Nuggets under, I think, is probably the one I like the most.
Yeah, and real quick, the Pistons by far, that's the smallest bet of the ones that I listed. Yeah, because I'm kind of with you, Dan. I get it. I get where you're coming from that team.
You did like a quarter loo on that one?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Dan, you have some of your own, though. You got 5 season win totals. What do you got?
I do, and actually there were 6. I had Memphis over, but the Steven Adams news was a real buzzkill, him being out for the season. They lost a lot on the interior with that one because Brandon Clark still isn't back, and so it's going to be this Santi Aldama and Xavier Tillman thing going on that we saw late last year. So that was one that I kind of got off of. The 5 that I do like, Suns under 51.5. I just think that team's going to take all kinds of time to gel, and they might be without Beal and Booker here on opening night already. So you've got health stuff to worry about. You've got chemistry stuff to worry about. And it's a giant number for a bunch of guys that got thrown together with a bunch of other dudes that got filled in on veterans minimum contracts. The Pacers over 38.5. I know I'm going out of order on what's on the screen here. I like that one a lot. That was a team that was well on pace to break that number before Tyrese Haliburton got hurt last year. And then they kind of started shutting guys down at the end. I think that's a team, again, where if you see them basically try for the season, they'll hit that mark. I'm trying to go as fast as I can here, guys. Kings under, they were the healthiest team in the NBA last year, that type of stuff. Maybe it happens a second time in a row, but I'm not inclined to believe that it does. The Thunder, I think, is the burden of expectations. I actually like that team a lot, but I think they made their gigantic leap last season. And I think there's a little bit of a plateauing this year as clubs are able to scout them a bit better. And then the Wolves, I think people were underselling them. I think Mike Conley was a really nice pickup to steer that ship of a bunch of sort of mismatched weirdo pieces that he's able to bring together in a way that D'Angelo Russell was never going to be able to. I don't know what the heck's going to go on with Rudy Gobert and Kat in the front court. That's still a problem, but Anthony Edwards is amazing. And I like the way that Conley can get the pieces to fit a little bit better. And that is my lightning round. How'd I do?
Well, you did great. I love that. Bucks and Celtics in whatever order are your best two teams in the East. Who's the third best team?
Oh my goodness, I wasn't ready for that one.
Sorry.
How about the Sixers getting back in there again after this Harden
thing? Dan, I'm just throwing out a team, right? How about the Sixers?
Could be the Cavs too. I think they're gonna be pretty good this year.
What is the conventional wisdom take that you find the hardest to get on board with?
Oh my goodness, that's another really hard question. What is a conventional? What if it
so,
is
so like in other in some ways you did that with a Thunder by going under on the Thunder, right? Because so many people love them. Are you as bullish on the Clippers as some are? We have a couple Clippers loving analysts here at the network.
Let me go this way, Dan. Of all the Western Conference, everybody in national media wants to say it's so crowded, so many good teams. Which of the good teams is not going to be a good team this year?
Okay. How about?
He didn't like that any better.
Good try, I want to see the Kings. I got the Kings under, so maybe that's like not cool of me, but I think they slowed down a little this year.
That's an answer.
Dan, something. Drew, JVT, all on the Kings under. I like it.
Everybody on the Kings under. What could go wrong? Dano, we'll talk soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
At Dan Vesbris, Besbris on Twitter. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.